online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, an independent TD has told the Taoiseach that what he believes is the core problem of the de facto block controversy is the lack of effective building control. Elective procedures have been cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital due to significant pressures arising from high attendances and long waiting times at the hospital's ED. Meanwhile, there's calls for security upgrades at the hospital as its emerged Gardaí were called there 21 times over the past 8 months. And a Letterkenny farmer has been banned from keeping animals for 10 years after being convicted of a number of animal cruelty offences. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. First news though, an independent TD believes the core problem of the de facto block controversy is the lack of effective building control. Deputy Sean Canny told the Taoiseach in the Dáil today that without regulations in place, de facto blocks are going to continue to cost the government billions. He was critical of the new concrete levy introduced in Budget 2023. It will see a 10% levy imposed on all concrete products, which will go towards funding the Mica Redress Scheme. Deputy Canny says the levy is putting additional pressures on people trying to build or buy their own homes.
You've mentioned mica, pyrite, and I've mentioned the apartment defects. And the core problem here is we do not have effective building control. And until we bring in a system where we have proper building control in this country, we will still continue to put billions into rectification of people's properties, innocent people's properties. But I do not believe that the cure for this problem is to put a levy on young people who are trying to build houses. Or to put a levy, ironically, the public purse will be paying the additional costs on public sector contracts, this levy. So basically the government will be paying out money for additional costs on houses and they will be paying it out to the local authorities to build these houses. Young people whom you're helping, and I agree that help is there, and I welcome the fact that Help to Buy has been extended for another year, but I think it should be expanded to second-hand houses. But leaving that aside, I think, Taoiseach, there is something fundamentally flawed in bringing in this at this particular time. And it is doing nothing cure the problem that we have and the rogue operations that are there. That's where the problem lies and that's where the solution lies as well.
Well, the Taoiseach has continued to defend the new concrete blocks levy. Micheál Martin, however, did say that the levy needs to send a clear message.
I would agree with you that the problem lies with the core, the rogue behaviour. That's the core issue. People's bad behaviour. In providing such defective materials. It does fundamentally come down to trust in terms of people who are building houses. I think everyone would have to agree that the scale of the intervention, and it's a generous intervention by the state. Why? Because we want to try and help people keep a roof over their head, that their first investment in their house or their apartment is one that they made in good faith, and that the government wants to help people in those situations. And their levy won't, in any shape or form, ever raise the kind of revenue that the state will be spending on dealing with the impact of these rogue builders, or not so much builders, but who's ever involved and responsible for the supply of defective materials. The revenue raised by this will in no way go anywhere near the cost that will be incurred taxpayer. But equally, I think a clear message has to go out as well that such behaviour has costs.
Time is up.
Well, a member of the Mica Action Group Committee in Donegal has hit out at the concrete products levy, saying that it will be passed on to customers by the industry and end up imposing another cost on the people the government claims to be protecting. Lisa Horne has described the move as window dressing, saying it's designed to make the government look like it's doing something while the underlying issues are ignored. She says once again the people will pay the price.
Whereas the state messes up, the people pay. So you've got not one quarry closed, not one prosecution, the same light touch regulation in place that was in place when this whole scandal occurred and may still be going on because we have industry professionals still reporting regulatory breaches that they believe are ongoing as recently as June 2022 yes. as witnesses to the Housing Committee hearing. It's a joke, yeah. to be honest. I think it's a PR exercise and window dressing on behalf of the government. It makes them look like they're doing something or they can spout about it, you know, when Dara is standing in the doll ongoing. But in terms of actually addressing the heart of the matter, in terms of actually addressing those who are responsible with consequences and accountability and actually making them account for their behaviour and actually making sure that this cannot go on into the future, it does not address any of that.
Elective procedures have been cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital today due to significant pressures arising from high attendances and long waiting times at the hospital's emergency department. Yesterday, 160 people attended the ED, while according to figures from the INMO, 31 patients are on a trolley at the hospital today. Emma Ryan has more.
The high number of people attending who need to be admitted for ongoing treatment means that there is pressure on bed availability. This is resulting in significant delays being experienced by patients in the emergency department who are waiting for a bed to become available on a ward. The hospital has postponed elective procedures today given the pressures on the site and patients have been contacted directly. All available beds are in use. Cialta says every effort is being made to discharge patients who are ready to go home so that beds will become available for patients who need to be admitted at the earliest opportunity.
Meanwhile, there's calls for security upgrades to be rolled out at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's after the Meath Gardaí were called to the hospital a total of 21 times during an 8-month period this year, which Councillor Albert Doherty says is 21 times too many. He says in an area that should be a sanctuary for people seeking care, Gardaí being called is unacceptable.
Principally listening to those at the coalface, our health workers, listening to stories emanating from emergency areas of foul and abusive language, of physical disturbances, and lastly, of security at the hospitals. And particularly, I was responding on Letterkenny University Hospital, particularly where it was deemed necessary to seek Garda assistance. I purposely did not want to include the Christmas or New Year's Eve period. I went from January 1st till the last day for submitting a question. And really, the statistic that 4 or 5 times a month, well, maybe 4 times a month or so, Gardaí are having to be called and respond to unwanted circumstances at the hospital. I find that very disappointing. I think it's incumbent on all hospital stakeholders, from management right down to security, to ensure that they listen, and if there's a review or an upgrade required, that it's implemented.
A Letterkenny farmer has been banned from keeping animals for 10 years after being convicted of a number of animal cruelty offences. 74-year-old Leslie Stewart of the Thorn Letterkenny pleaded guilty to 16 of 30 charges against him and was this week sentenced at Letterkenny District Court. Donna Marie Doherty reports.
The case resulted from multiple inspections of the farm by officials from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, assisted by senior ISPCA inspector Kevin McGinley. The visits took place between 2019 and 2021. The offences related to animals kept in a van and trailers without water and an unburied sheep carcass. 3 collie-type dogs were removed from a locked van and assessed for symptoms of heatstroke. They were later rehomed by the ISPCA. Mr. Stewart had previously received a 2-year disqualification from keeping animals and a suspended jail sentence in 2016 for cruelty to horses and donkeys. Judge Cunningham fined Mr. Stewart a total of €1,500 and also banned him from keeping animals for 10 years, noting that he clearly had not learned from the experience of his previous 2-year ban. In addition, Mr. Stewart was sentenced to a total of 4 months in jail with the sentences suspended for 12 months.
The Northern Ireland Secretary says restoring the power sharing institutions at Stormont is a priority for both the British and Irish governments. Speaking after a meeting with Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney, Chris Heaton-Harris said he believes the mood music is positive around reforming the executive before he has to call an election next month. Mr. Coveney said it would be an extraordinary failure of politics if the institutions are not operating in the run-up to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. But Mr. Heaton-Harris admits the window of opportunity is compact.
It's a very small period of time in which to get things moving. And yes, there are important discussions between London and Brussels, as well as between Simon and myself. But these discussions, they can move forward.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with football. Seamus Coleman looks set for an extended run in the Everton side. The Merseyside club has confirmed that Nathan Patterson will be out for 4 to 5 weeks with an ankle injury sustained in Scotland's win over the Republic of Ireland. Everton return to Premier League action on Saturday, away to Southampton. One game tonight in the Ulster Senior League Cup. It's at Ballyar at the Diamond Park. Van Harp's under-21s are playing Letterkenny Rovers. That one kicks off at 7:30 this evening. In boxing, Donegal's Matthew McCall will fight in the welterweight quarterfinals at the University World Cup Combat Sports in Samsun, Turkey this evening. The Dunlow man, who is boxing under the ATU Donegal, was a third one in the competition, will secure him at the very least a bronze medal. He's due in the ring in the next 15 to 20 minutes, where he will take on Hungarian Soma Master. So far, McCall has won his opening two fights comfortably by unanimous decisions. It's semi-final night at the Ulster Senior and Novice Championships at the Dockers Club in Belfast. There's three fighters set for ring action tonight. Two of them from Ilias Golden Gloves, in the form of Cathair Gormley and Charlie Duffy. Rafo's Brian McNamee is also set for a semi-final this evening. The winners will go through to the finals tomorrow night. Already straight through representing the Twin Towns is Jack Rowland. In Gaelic games, Dunlow and Neve Columba will face off in the Donegal Intermediate Championship final on Saturday afternoon in Letterkenny. We'll have full live match commentary from that game, as from the 2:30 start at the O'Donnell Park. Having lost last year's final to Clonmacnoise, Dunlow are back in the decider, unbeaten in this season's competition. Just reverting back to last year, they did of course defeat Neve Columba at the semi-final stage. Dunlow captain Conor O'Donnell is expecting another tough game against the Glenmen.
A tough test last year now. I mean, we were absolutely delighted to get over the line last year against them in the semi-final. Big battle. It'll be nothing different this year. They played some impressive stuff there without watching them against Fannad, and they're a very, very good team now. They're very hard to beat, and expect nothing but a big challenge from them.
Well, Neve Columba are back in the second tier final for the first time in 11 years. Having lost several semi-finals in recent campaigns, they eventually got through the last four by beating Fannad Gaels. The difference this year has been the Glencolum Kills side have been in better shape, according to captain Kevin McNairn.
It's a young team, but everybody's a year older. This year, we don't have as many injuries as we had other years. That's was a big problem the last few years, boys getting injured during championship and just missing the remainder of it. You know, even last year against Dunlow, we lost, I think it was four of our starting defenders during the game. Like, so, you know, things like that there, when you have small panels, and it does take its toll on you.
And there's more from Kevin McNairn and indeed Conor O'Donnell in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Rory McIlroy says players on the LIV Golf Tour need to play by the same rules if they are to be awarded official world ranking points. 50 players on the Saudi-funded tour wrote to ranking bosses, claiming their admission renders the rankings inaccurate and incomplete. LIV tournaments are played over 54 holes rather than the traditional 72, and that's something that needs to change, according to McIlroy.
The one thing that has been frustrating from the start of this is they just don't want to play by the rules that have been that have been in place for so long. So it can't be one set of rules for, you know, a certain amount of people and then a set of rules for everyone else. Everyone has to abide by the same rules here. And if they're willing to abide by the rules, 100% they should get world ranking points. But the way everything is right now and the way their tour is set up, I just think it makes it very difficult for them to make that argument.
In snooker, Ulster's Mark Allen is through to the second round of the British Open. He has beaten Chinese Liang Hang by 4-1 in Milton Keynes and will play either Gary Wilson or Zhang Anda in round two. Currently on the table, Ireland's Gerard Green is 3-1 down to Ryan Day. And that's your sport for today. Michaela, we'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, there's calls for safety works to be carried out on the N15 after it recorded the third highest number of fatal crashes in the country. 13 fatal collisions occurred on the Lifford to Sligo Road between January the 1st, 2017 and September the 14th, 2022. Cathair Lough of the Lifford to Norlin Municipal District, Councillor Patrick McGowan, believes the majority of the fatalities occurred in the south of the county, but says there is a crash at least once a month between Stranorler and Killigordon. Councillor McGowan says immediate upgrade works need to be carried out, as he says it's a miracle more crashes have not occurred.
There must be probably a vehicle collision that would say at least once a month there between Stranorler and Killigordon. You can just see me use that road regularly. We see there's cars coming under the ditch all the time, and thank God nothing too serious has been reported anyway. We often see garage ambulance there and the road closed, like, so it is quite in poor condition. South of Bundoran is extremely bad, as anybody know, up to Sligo, but also to here from north of sort of Stranorler down to Killigordon to Castlefin. That area needs urgent attention. There's places there that two lorries can barely pass there. It's called the Corcan Bends, and there is plans afoot now to straighten them corners, but it's just taken too long. So it seemed to be at the drawing board this last 3 or 4 years, but we need to get on with it. And it's certainly, you know, how somebody hasn't been killed at this stage from Stranorla to Killigordon, it's more of a miracle than anything else. The amount of sort of collisions and cars that go off the road, especially them very, very bad bends there just below St. Joseph's. But the numbers speak for themselves in the M15, and it's just the volume of traffic and speed and everything else on the roads, you know, it's not surprising, really.
A former Sinn Féin councillor has pleaded guilty to facilitating the murder of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel in Dublin more than 6 years ago. 44-year-old Jonathan Dowdall of the Navan Road in Cabra admitted to facilitating the murder by making a room available at the hotel for a criminal organisation on February the 4th, 2016. David Byrne was shot dead at a boxing weigh-in at the hotel the following evening. Mr. Dowdall will be sentenced on Monday, the same day he's due to face a murder charge alongside 58-year-old Jerry Hutch before the Special Criminal Court. A Donegal councillor is questioning the urgency with which Donegal County Council is acquiring social housing stock. Councillor Ian McGarvey was told by officials this week that the council has identified 47 priority sites with the potential to construct between 1,100 and 1,500 houses. This programme, they pointed out, can be supplemented by the turnkey programme. However, Councillor McGarvey says money is available through government for the direct purchase of homes from contractors, and he doesn't believe the council is adequately pursuing that option.
I have knowledge of contractors who want to meet them, discuss with them, and not demand a particular price, but to negotiate what the possibilities are about selling property to them. Now, isn't it too bad you have to go and CPO something? Somebody has rightful ownership over in this county. Can we not sit down and negotiate a fair price and have it accepted?
Some agency nurses and other non-HSE frontline workers will have to wait until December to receive their pandemic bonus. So far, 123,000 people have received the benefit, but many non-HSE staff have been waiting over 8 months for their payment. National HR Director with the HSE, Anne-Marie Hoey, says the executive has a lack of information about these workers, which is causing a delay.
When we have that level of detail, we will be able to make the payment to the agency and they in turn to the staff member. So it's just, I suppose, that gap that we don't have that direct relationship on our payroll system with those staff.
With a nice sunny spells and scattered showers today, highest temperatures of just 12 to 14 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, an independent TD believes the core problem of the defective block controversy is the lack of effective building control. Deputy Sean Canny told the Taoiseach in the Dáil today that without regulations in place, defective blocks are going to continue to cost the government billions. Elective procedures have been cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital today due to significant pressures arising from high attendances and long waiting times at the hospital's emergency department. Yesterday, 160 people attended the ED, while according to figures from the INMO, 31 patients are on a trolley at the hospital today. There's calls, meanwhile, for security upgrades to be rolled out at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's after an emerged Gardaí were called to the hospital a total of 21 times during an 8-month period this year, which Councillor Albert Doherty says is 21 times too many. And a Letterkenny farmer has been banned from keeping animals for 10 years after being convicted of a number of animal cruelty offences. 74-year-old Lesley Stewart of the Thorn Letterkenny pleaded guilty to 16 of 30 charges against him and was this week sentenced at Letterkenny District Court. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 28th of September. The death has taken place of Paddy O'Donnell, Drumnaskee, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his home from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Francis Russell, Doone Glebe, New Mills, reposing at the family home from 6 o'clock this evening, with removal from there at 6:30 tomorrow evening, arriving at Conwell Parish Church for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral service on Friday afternoon at 2, with burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Con MacDade Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Rose Ashpool, née Kennedy, 53 Hollyhill Road, Strabane, formerly of 36 Patrick Street, Strabane, reposing at her home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the British Heart Foundation, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. And the death has taken place of PJ O'Donnell, 14 Wolftone Place, Letterkenny, formerly of Termon, reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:30, going to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Rosary tonight at 9. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Intensive Care Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.